Welcome to the Learning to Succeed podcast, a podcast whose goal aims at decreasing your learning curve and helping you succeed. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Learning to Succeed podcast. It's been a long time since we've had a published recording that's gone out, and I just wanted to, again, thank people who are listening to this, because it has been, you know, a 6 to 8 month time period since the last episode came out, and I wanted to speak really briefly to that. There's never really been a time where I thought the podcast would be done. It's kind of a hobby at this point, and spending the time necessary to record episodes, edit, and publish just wasn't a priority. And so we will continue to get episodes out, and hopefully here in a couple months, they can be on a more regular basis. But for right now, it's kind of recording an episode when you can. This episode with Greg Whitmore, it's actually was recorded in October, so we've had it saved away for a while. Just want to again thank people who are still listening, and you know, we'll continue to get episodes out here, you know, once basketball season ends and can kind of have a little bit more downtime. But it's been a busy year. I'm sure everyone's felt that. And just again, thank you for taking the time, because time's definitely valuable. I feel that, and I'm sure you guys do too. So I hope you enjoy this episode. It was recorded pretty remotely on my cell phone on a backpacking trip with Greg. So the audio is a bit rough. I'll just get that out right here and right now. Hopefully it's listenable and you can hear most of the conversation. It was snowing and there was about 25 mile an hour winds. So some of it is a little bit muffled because I did have to record it inside my jacket, where it could be protected from just kind of the environment and wind and everything. So we do have a great conversation. It's always a great conversation with Greg. He does an awesome job articulating his thoughts and just making it seem kind of like the perfect way to put it. And so I hope you enjoy this episode. Thank you again for listening, and stick with the podcast. It's never been dead. It's just been a little bit dormant, and we'll be coming back here pretty soon. So enjoy the episode, and thanks again for listening.
Well, we're recording.
We're recording?
Yeah, which I can edit out.
You can edit a lot out, but
yeah.
It's kind of interesting. This would be one of those that a lot of people can't imagine where we're at right now. There's what a lot of people would consider a tiny little pond behind us, maybe. It's actually a little spring fed from the ground. Beautiful. Little ice on it when we got here, and icing up tonight. We're sitting by a fire, hiked in, I don't know, 5 miles or something. Fairly easy hike by our means, or by what we've done in the past. And
somewhat in the shadow of Tai Mountain.
Yeah, it took off from Tai Mountain, actually. That's kind of cool. Obviously, kind of a cool deal for me with my Tai Mountain Wellness website, but Tai has always been kind of cool, and I've been to this spot. I've never camped here, but it's been so dry that obviously we wanted to be somewhere near a water source, and this is probably the only one along this ridge. But yeah, it's kind of cool. A lot of people think we'd be crazy. This wouldn't be their brand of fun,
but
you might have family members that say that.
I might have a sister.
I might have coworkers that say that.
That say that's not, yeah, they're brand of fun that we're crazy, but
this is the fifth year?
Yeah. Year five, and becomes my stress relief. We just get together and do this quick overnighter. In fact, last night I had a football game. You had a, you know, you chaperoned a kind of a homecoming festivities, and you got home late. I didn't get over here to any yet till 2:30. Finally to bed by 3, and here we are. But this is ends up being just kind of a huge stress reliever for me, and almost rejuvenates me a little bit. Get out here, and I wish I could do it a lot more, but the job I have and everything else just doesn't allow for it, but I know it's really healthy for me.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we could take it back to the fifth year anniversary of why this became fruition a little bit, this trip. I think it was a mix of me wanting to do something that I enjoy doing on a relatively regular basis and being in a place, Ritzville, that didn't necessarily have the surroundings to offer that. So, was going to come over anyway and do a trip with my dad. And, just so happened it ended up being the valley you grew up in. And asked you to tag along. And then I think, although our reasons maybe, you know, come together and become mutual, may be a little bit different than continuing the kind of passion for the outdoors.
Yeah, I, you know, whenever I'm asked what's my favorite thing to do or what's my hobby, it's always backpacking right up the top. And I've done a lot of it over the years, quite a bit. But always during the summer. And summer's not always the ideal time. We know that fall's the best time. And yet, obviously, I'm a football coach, been coaching football. This is my 30th year. And so I'd never been on a fall backpacking trip. It's ridiculous. It's my favorite thing to do. It's something I'm really passionate about. It's something that makes me healthy. And yet I hadn't ever done it. And you came along and became a young staff member, assistant coach for me, and you said, hey, let's go to Larch Lakes. And a lot of people don't know where Larch Lakes is, but Larch Lakes is it's a serious little hike, you know, 8 miles, and there's some serious climbing on that. And so I think
some people may get,
yeah,
I wouldn't call it lost, but confused on where trails go.
Yeah, and it's just not an easy hike, and it's one thing. And so you proposed we do that, and I said, you're crazy. There's no way. I have a football game the night before, and you were coaching with me and that sort of thing. And so I was kind of decided I wasn't going to do it. I needed rest and needed to prepare for next week's football game. And you kept asking, and luckily my wife, Karen, she said, you need to do it. You would love it being out there. It's something you love to do, and you've never done it, so do it. So I hemmed and hawed, finally did it. And we went, and it was a tough hike. We got up at, 4 in the morning over in Ritzville, drove a couple hours, picked up your dad, actually had breakfast with your mom and dad, and then we drove another, good hour or more, probably to the trailhead. Then we hiked this 8 miles. We get up to this beautiful lake, but it's frozen over. There's snow on the ground. Mm-hmm. It's frozen over. We're in early October like we are right now, and it's cold. We have a lot of fun. We get a fire going, but it's cold. We got to clear the snow just to have a tent. And we wake up in the morning, it was just like, it was the most beautiful sight I'd seen. The sun was out, the larch trees were golden. I still have these pictures on my wall. And so it was just ended up being one of those things. It was just really impactful for me, and it made me realize, I think that's where I said, you're just crazy if you don't really go after what you're passionate about, and that's really what we should be doing all the time is seeking out joy, seeking out passion. And but sometimes too life gets in the way, and your job and your the rat race you're in, and I'm by no means cured, and I still have that rat race, and I still coach in football, but it's something I look forward to. And this was a relatively easy hike by our means, but still a quick overnighter, and it's cold, and most people wouldn't think this is relaxing, but it's rejuvenating. So yeah, I owe a lot to you and your dad for dragging me out. I owe a lot to Karen for making me go, because it was the best thing I did here a few years ago, and we've been doing it every year.
Yeah, it's hard to explain the feeling to people, because I can understand why this wouldn't be everyone's, you know, their cup of tea or however you want to describe it. But I feel like once you get in the truck to drive to the trailhead or to the mountain or wherever, you just feel this like decompressing feeling, like the, you know, us being health teachers, I gotta assume it's cortisol, yeah. You know, leaving, being filtered out of your blood. Yep. And then you get up here and it's an almost somewhat euphoric feeling, and just kind of a feeling of peace and calm. You don't have to worry about checking emails. You don't have to worry about, you know, doing whatever activities related to your job. You just kind of get 24 hours to unplug. And I know this year, you know, like Greg said, and I gotta apologize, I'm sure it's the audio, it may not be as high a quality as it's been. We are outside, it's a little windy, we have a fire going, but hopefully you guys can hear. But you know, in years past, we've kind of wanted to feel the pain a little bit, I feel like, on hikes, because it means a little bit more. And I think this year we evaluated just our fitness levels and everything going on, that maybe a little easier hike was more appropriate. And I'm, you know, it did its job. I mean, 5 miles, there was enough up and down that I felt justified when drinking the beers we brought up here and the meal we had.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a great place to be, to
maybe
reset.
We're a little weird anyway, you know, our firefighting background and maybe sports too. There's some kind of some joy. I don't know about joy, but I don't know it. The suffering, just a little bit of suffering. It's not like we seek out suffering, but it's like, yeah, it's gonna be cold tonight. It's gonna ice. It could snow. There was snow. We saw some snow, fresh snow.
Yeah, fresh
and
snow.
Yeah, this, as we came in here, and there's ice on this springs. It's a little pond and stream behind us, but it's going to be cold, windy night, and there's this big, huge pile of bear crap right over by my hammock, so I don't know if we're going to get a bear tonight, but...
That's why I sent you over there, and I kept close to the fire.
And so we're a little bit weird that way anyway. But this is probably less suffering than we're used to, but we'll go home and I'll get back to Ritzville, and I have to have meetings Sunday night, and you have some planning stuff to do on Sunday, and our feet will be sore for a few days, but I'll go back, the stress level will be down, I'll be rejuvenated, and so it's something, I don't know, and I'm at a different point in my career right now where I'm thinking I really see the finiteness, I don't know if that's a great word, but of my life. You know, I'm about retirement age, getting close, and I don't have many more years to do this, and so it's like, why am I not,
or at least do it in the way that you want to do it?
Yeah, do it in the way I want to do it. And so why am I not doing all I can? If I love doing this quick overnight, or why am I not doing it several times during the fall? Well, that means I got to get rid of the rat race and the job and the requirements of me that I'm doing. And that's obviously a tough step in life, retirement and all that. That's a whole separate podcast.
Yeah. I mean, I think we were searching for what to necessarily talk about within this podcast episode, and we came up with a lot of different things that, I mean, you could probably have 10 different episodes from, if you pushed record, from the time we start hiking to the time we get back to the truck, and they'd all be good episodes. But I think we kind of settled on that idea of what truly balances in your life, and what happens, this idea of passion, and what happens when your passion changes or even dwindles a little bit. Because I think everyone, especially with how things have gone in the last couple of years, it forces you to reflect on what maybe is important and what do you really enjoy doing, and do you enjoy doing what you currently have as your job, or you know, the people you keep your company with. And so I think that's kind of a fitting direction to go.
Yeah, and we're both health teachers, and I know one thing we teach is wellness. And what is wellness? Wellness is that balance between all your physical, mental, social health, and then you can even go on further, your financial and spiritual and all that stuff. But depending on how many dimensions of health. But and it's one of the things. I'm 57 years old right now and getting close to retirement. But looking back on my 30-year career, it's one of the few true regrets I have, that I was really out of balance, and it affected my wife, my family, and all that, and they took the brunt of it. And so, as much as I have taught the importance of balance, I've been out of balance for a lot of years, and you know, I've given it a lot of thought, and now that we're here having this fireside chat, you and I talk about it quite a bit, and I think it hit me that first trip to Larch Lakes that you took me on, that I realized, I mean, I think I knew I was out of balance, but that's when I really had time to reflect on that 8-mile hike out, thinking, it's been crazy what I've done and put myself through, but also, more importantly, my family through and everything else. So I was certainly out of balance, and I'm not totally in balance yet, but I need to get there, right?
Yeah. Well, and I mean, this isn't necessarily, this might be a little off talk. I'm just thinking about it. I'm trying to think of the trips that we've done. First one was Larch Lakes. Second one was Duncan.
Yeah, second was Duncan.
Third one was Anthem Creek.
Anthem Creek.
Fourth one was
up in the South Pyramid.
Yep, yep. And up and the around North Fork, mm-hmm. Loop. If you're from the Wenatchee area, Eniat area, you probably know what we're talking about. And then we obviously have this year where, I think we thought it was fitting, one, because I think the trail accommodated maybe what we were looking for, but also fitting to, meet that balance and wellness needs that we were looking for. And that it was ironic that we were going to do that in the place that your kind of wellness brand stems from.
It means a lot to me, and you've worked around here a lot and get up on Tai Mountain a lot, so it's cool, and I always enjoy my time, even though you are at a different school now. Your friendship means a lot to me, and this trip means a lot to me, and my wife, she continues to push me. Now you don't even think about not going out there. You're going to be a better person when you come back, and I am. And when I go back, I'm a better person, and I'm ready for probably a better teacher, probably a better coach, probably a better husband. worrying about the stress and more, maybe reflecting on how I can be a better person and I need to do it more.
And so for you, that's connecting to, you know, the outdoors, nature. How do you think people find that connection that is going to put them at a center of balance or, a place of reset or whatever you want to call it?
Yeah, I think it's a good question. I mean, again, I go back to we all need to do what we're passionate about. And so I was passionate about coaching football. I mean, there's no question. I was, when I got this job in 1992, I'd taught a year at health class down in Phoenix, Arizona, and didn't really enjoy it. But our first son was born down there, and so a lot of things happened. But when I got up here and started coaching football, and I was actually assistant basketball coach, teaching everything out, I was passionate about football. But you can actually, you can get out of balance if you're just passionate about one thing. I left a lot of the other things, or I left behind some of the other things that I was passionate about, right? I was passionate about my wife. I was passionate about my son. I was passionate about my daughter that was on the way. I was passionate about my family. But yet, somehow I lost sight of that, and just the football and the basketball took over, and the teaching, and a lot of that demands a lot of your time if you want to be really good at it. But somewhere in there, I just lost sight of the other passions in my life, and certainly I lost sight of this passion, backpacking and going out in the fall. I hadn't done it until 5 years ago, 30 years in here now, and it was, it wasn't for 25 years until you drug me out here that I did something. So you can be passionate about several things, but if you lose sight of and don't try to make time for all of them, I think you can become out of balance.
Yeah. So would you say maybe it's a red flag if, let's just say someone 25, 30, if their passion is their work, is that something that maybe people should take a step back and evaluate whether or not that, maybe just evaluate, do they have balance in their life?
Yeah, I think, first of all, I think you need to be passionate about your work. I mean, I think that's ideal.
To clarify it, right. more like your only passion.
Yeah, that's the key, is just...
Or your main, your the priority is of passion is your work.
Yes, so you become too tunnel vision where you lose sight of the other things that you need to take care of and that you are passionate about. And that's what I did, I guess. I don't know exactly why. And I know there were times when probably Karen, my wife, told me that I was out of balance. Maybe not in those exact words, but and I was trying to give my best effort to my job. I was trying to be the best coach, the best teacher, and in the end, then I wasn't being the best husband and father. So it happened. I mean, it happens all the time. You hear about it. I mean, there's people that are passionate about hunting, and they're all in, and maybe they let some other things in their life. So it happens all the time, and it's, I don't have an easy fix for it. You do need to recognize the signs, and probably more than anything, if I could look back and say, what should I have done differently? Probably should have got some counseling. You know, if I could maybe make some recommendations to young couples or whatever. We get physicals every year, right? We get physical checks. Well, why don't we go get mental checks every year? Why don't we go talk to some counseling, whether it's by ourselves or with our wife, marriage counseling? Why don't we get marriage counseling, whether there's a problem or not? So, and I'm a big talker now, but I still haven't had any marriage counseling. Yeah. So, but,
you know, why don't we? The
mental part of it is obviously such a huge part of balance and everything. Yep. So,
I'm going to put some wood on the fire.
Okay. Throw another log on the fire. Having a fireside chat.
Yeah, this is going to be quite the audio.
Just dropped your phone. That's all right. That's what podcasts are supposed to be, informal. Yep. And
it's a blue collar.
And I think about, you've had some pretty cool guests on your podcast, but I always go back to letting you know that I was your first. I was always your first.
Not sure what you're implying there.
I'm implying you lost your podcast virginity with me, I guess. I don't know. Exactly. You can edit it. But, yeah, hopefully we have enough wood to last here.
I think so.
But
that'll burn pretty good.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't feel like I'm in a great position to give a lot of advice, just other than to tell people that my regrets, obviously, you know, as much of life as possible without any major regrets. That's one of mine. And, you know, as you know, I've won a few state championships and coach of the year and coach of the week. But there's one thing I've never come close to, and I really want to do. I've never won husband of the year, probably not father of the year either. And so as I get close to the end of my coaching career and teaching career, I hope I have a lot of years left to really work on becoming husband of the year, because I owe a lot to my wife Karen for allowing me and actually being patient and knowing that she kind of had. There's sometimes, you know, you have to let your significant other, your spouse, follow their passion. You can't take that away from them. You hope they don't get out of balance, but you can't take people's passion away either. So that's where some counseling would have come in handy, just so we could maybe stay in balance.
Yeah, and I can speak to my side of things in terms of the benefit of, one of the benefits of us having our friendship is it's caused me to, at a relatively young age, reflect on what my balance is, mm-hmm. Which I think I have pretty good balance, but I know that I have a tendency to, at the same time, kind of like you were saying, maybe put too much time into things that take away from some of these passions, like we're talking about getting out and, you know, being in the hills or going hunting or fishing or spending time with family, because you're, you know, you don't want to seem unprepared or, you know, you want to do what you need to do to win the game or make sure the kids have what they need. And not that that isn't important, but I think I've realized that, you know, you never know when you're 60 years old, you might not be able to do this stuff anymore. And I don't want to look back and think like, you know, I didn't go because I watched 2 hours of film.
Yeah.
And I missed out on probably what in the long run is going to be more beneficial for the people around me is a recharged person, a greater sense of perspective. And I know we were talking about it on the hike today. You know, you've battled some health issues, and I had a relatively acute but health, you know, a stomach bug or virus or whatever came through this September and kind of sidelined me for a lot longer than I'm used to having to deal with a sickness. And it makes you kind of wonder, like it puts things in perspective, I guess. And mine was minor. You know, my girlfriend Ellie, her mother passed away from breast cancer, and she dealt with that for 7 years, kind of probably dictating her daily schedule, from, you know, chemo and radiation and all that, not feeling good. So I certainly don't ever, I don't want to make it sound like I'm putting this in the same category, but it starts to make you think, like, you know, what if I, this thing that's lasting 10 times longer than I've really ever had an illness last is something super serious, and I'm not going to be able to do the things that I want to do. And it kind of puts you in a sense of panic of, like, I haven't done what I want to do, or I've missed out on opportunities.
That word perspective is so, putting things in perspective and losing perspective and all that, it's so easy to do. And so, you know, in our lives, we have everyone's got a lot going on. You do have your career, and when you're, whether it's teaching, coaching, I don't care if you're a CEO, it doesn't matter what job, you need to be all in. You need to be the best that you can be. And in my case, I wanted to be the best football coach. I wanted to be the best teacher. But then I needed to realize that, okay, I have to put some time on the weekends. I get that. To be the best football coach, you have to do that. But then there's got to be some family time that you just have to be intentional about putting in. And when you're with your family, you have to be all in with your family. And I wasn't. I was still disconnected and thinking about football, and probably still guilty of that, staying up nights and sleepless nights and that sort of thing. As we feel rain or snow coming down on us right now.
Yeah, I know.
But it puts things in perspective.
Still relatively clear.
I know.
So I don't think we're going to have too big of an issue.
So, you know, we need to have different passions. We need to be all in on those passions. So we got to be able to, set some clear boundaries. That's probably one thing that I didn't do, is didn't have any clear boundaries. And so I lost sight of some of my other passions and got out of balance. But then there's some things that hit you in life that kind of slap you in the face. Some of my autoimmune disease that I talk about on my website, kind of realized, and then I put a YouTube video together just talking about, hey, I'm over two-thirds statistically through my lifetime, through my quantity of life, I call it, or the life expectancy. And that's kind of scary. And I've, what am I going to do with this last third? And you never know what health issues are going to affect you. But again, it's like, am I going to continue to chase this coaching thing? Am I going to continue to teach another year because I have to get one more year on the salary schedule, or I need to not have to try to make ends meet until I can draw Social Security? And I'm starting to realize that, you know what, that's not that important. It's more important that that I'm doing some other things that I need to get done for that end of life time.
Yeah, and I think that's probably a good segue into kind of the second topic we were thinking about, is when you have these strong passions early on in your life, they're eventually going to probably change or subside in some way. And I think you'd probably agree that you're at that point, or you're getting to that point.
Absolutely, yep.
And I would imagine that is kind of a weird feeling. That's a almost paralyzing feeling, I would think. You kind of have to figure out how you're going to deal with that.
Yeah, that's what I'm struggling with right now. How do I deal with it? And I think it's a combination of things. So talking about football, talking about coaching, talking about teaching, which are things that I've been absolutely passionate about. I really started to lose that passion. I think part of that is because I've had that
recognition that, geez, I've been out of balance and I need to get away. But I think probably the bigger part is I'm just getting worn out. 30 years of putting your all into teaching and coaching, and I thought last night, I'm on a bus. Last night, 30 years I've been on a bus. not 30 years straight, but every fall, almost every Friday night, I'm either have a football game at home or I'm on a bus somewhere. 3 hours instead of being home with my wife, instead of being over here backpacking up on Tiny Mountain or whatever. So, bottom line is I'm losing energy. One, that recognition that I've been out of balance, and so whatever the cause is, I've lost that passion. And yet, of course, I coach for the kids, and I love the kids, and we've got great kids. We almost always have great kids. So whenever I do decide to call it quits, it's going to be so hard, and I'm going to cry like a baby because I won't see the kids every day. But for whatever reason, I've lost a little bit of that passion, and I've always said, when you're not giving it your all, which the kids deserve, the kids that you teach, the kids that you coach deserve your all. When you can't give them your all, it's time to really start stepping aside and trying to find that other person that does have that passion and can give it their all. And you know, I've had that conversation because you're a young coach, and you will have a family, and it that changes the dynamic when you do have a family. And I've tried to hire some coaches since you've left, and some of them have been former players of mine, and they come and say, well, we'll help you out, but we can't be at every practice because we just had a baby. I was thinking, you know what? 30 years ago, I had a baby, and I was at every practice, and then I think, well, they were right. These kids that I've coached, and they're telling me they can't give it their all because they need to be home with their family. They were right, and I had it wrong. And so yeah, it's all that stuff. So it's just it's a dynamic that I'm not used to. So I don't have it all figured out yet, but I know I'm there at that end point where the kids that I'm coaching, that they deserve more than the energy that I have or the passion I have to give right now.
Well, it's funny you mention that because I'm currently in the middle of a coaching search, mm-hmm. For my assistant, and there's, similar to you, there's a lot of great kids and families in Eniat, and there's a couple ones that are, you know, super high quality, and those are obviously the ones I'd like to be a part of the program because they would only make it better, and they were a few of the families that I reached out to, mainly people I knew them from working in the Forest Service, and then played against a few of them in high school and stuff, and thought they would do a really good job and be a great community representation. And mm-hmm. When I called them, you know, they all have young kids and young families, which is good. There's some boys and stuff in there, so that could make the teams a little bit better, so that's kind of the selfish reason. But they all kind of said, you know, I don't think we could do that. And the main reason was we'd want to give it, you know, our best to you, but to be honest, we'd want to be home and with our families. And you know, I have never had any issues with that because all I can do is appreciate it.
Absolutely. That's what kind of my thought is. My first instinct is, come on, man, I did it. Why can't you? And then my first instinct, no, you're smart. I had it wrong. So good for you that you recognize it first of all, and you do have that balance, and you say, no, I can't commit to
this. I think we're getting a little snow.
This snow now, yeah, it is. We got some snow.
This is the third year in a row that we've had snow.
Yeah. I can't get my feet out here.
It's a mystery.
It's a mystery. You don't like to be out here in the snow. But, it's good for them. Good for those people that, and I think, you know, you as a young coach, yeah, I think you have good perspective and you recognize that, but I also know that you give it your all coaching, and I think you can do both. In fact, my mentor, and he's my current assistant coach, Mike Lynch, I think he did a good job of being all in coaching, but he was all in as a husband and father at times too, so it's not like it can't be done. But it takes recognition and some intentional, real intentional planning and steps you need to take.
So do you think when people, I guess when they start feeling these things or kind of trying to figure out, is this, am I losing passion, or is it just kind of a weird phase in my life, the like best voice you can listen to is yourself, because you start asking those internal questions of like, do I really like this anymore? Is this really what I want to be doing? Or, you know, sometimes you're pretty honest with yourself, like, man, I'd rather be out backpacking, or I'd rather be up at the house upriver in Enneat working on the property or whatever. Do you think that's like the best voice you can listen to kind of maybe tell yourself like, yeah, I am losing that interest and I need to really maybe detach and kind of think about some things?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I mean, I would tell you that I think I've been very good at giving people advice over the years. I don't think I've been good at taking my own advice. And I've taught just a lot, some of the lessons that I teach my kids in football or whatever. I haven't necessarily I can't say that I always can trust my own voice. But in this case, I know, I mean, I know I have to be really working towards this transition of... I think some of it is I've been so selfless in ways, and I need to be more selfish. And when I say selfish, that selfishness would include me being completely done with football and teaching and devoting a lot of the time to the Ken and all the years that she put in, all the sacrifices she put in with the kids when I was on road trips and gone all the time. She deserves all my attention. And so I wouldn't always have said my I should trust my own voice, but in this case I think I'm spot on, and now it's just a matter of how do I do it, because it's a tough dilemma you get in. You have this career and it kind of provides that sense of worth to you, that paycheck is something you're always striving for, and you got to think about your retirement, and so you got, there's a lot of things at play right then. But I know for a fact that as I'm losing passion, I'm losing energy, and there's got to be a change. It's just a matter of, you know, how fast is it going to happen? And I could quit tomorrow, but there'd be consequences with that. And so, and there'd be consequences with the people I work with and the school district and the kids that I coach, and I got to think of them as well.
Well, I think that's a good point of when you are passionate about something, you tend to put a lot of time into it, which means you're investing in it.
Yep.
And when you do invest a lot of time and energy and focus and all those things, you can be really apprehensive to hand that off, because you know what you did, you're protective of it, and you don't want that to change, or you know, maybe even you know, slide a little bit. And you know, some people I think tend to, and I, again, that's just purely observation, I think they hold on to those things and then they end up fighting this battle that we're talking about even longer than they need to, which maybe may do more damage than if they've just given it up and trusted that the next person in line or the next group in line can handle it in a way that will continue the yeah. investment.
Yeah, no, I know. You just, you're right. You put so much into building the program and thinking, doing your best for a school district, and you don't want to be complaining. I got a great group of kids right now, juniors and sophomores and freshmen, and I know these, if I were to quit coaching tomorrow, I would feel a sense of letting them down.
Abandonment,
I guess. And so, but at some point, there has to come a point, there's going to be some class that I guess you let down, or you just, and so my job is to do all I can, just like I've always done, to look out for their best interest in this, try to find someone that can replace them and replace me and go on and be a good coach for them, and I'll do all I can. I can't guarantee anything or anyone that they'll be happy with, but I can just try to do my best. But in the end, it's like I can't just go one year more for this class and this class, because that's just me again being out of balance and losing sight of the other passions that I have, that I've been neglecting for way too long.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of what you told me when I took the INEOT job, because I felt like I had invested quite a bit in the kids at Ritzville.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'd been doing the early morning weight room routine and mm-hmm. A series of coaching, and was pretty invested in the math teaching I was doing. And this opportunity came up with INEOT to teach a new content area that I think was maybe more aligned with my passion, and then the coaching job. And I remember saying, like, I kind of feel like I owe it to the kids here to stay. And I think you kind of told me that you'll never leave if that's the reason.
Yeah.
But if this is a good move for you and your family, then, you know, like, unfortunately, not that that's not important, but that's got to be taken out of the equation.
Yeah, yeah. You consider all those things, but one thing you got to understand, too, is I'm not so terrific that these kids are going to not survive, right? Mm-hmm. They're gonna adapt just fine. It may not be ideal. It may be end up being better. They may find someone better. So it's just that sense of, yeah, of commitment to those kids and all that. It's the right way to be, and it is something to consider. But in the end, yeah, you just can't live by that. I'm committed to these kids. So that's just part of your... Yeah, it's just part of your thinking as you make these major decisions. But as you get, and you know, early in your career, or even at some point, you might be able to say, okay, I'll do one more year. Yeah, I see the importance, but you can do that too long. I can just go on one more year. And I've always said I'm not going to do that in teaching or coaching. When I start thinking I'm losing my effectiveness or my passion, I'm not going to be one of those one more year guys. It's no, I got to pull the trigger and out, take that. Kids will survive. They'll get other people in their lives. That's just part of it. But...
Yeah. So if we, you know, flash forward a little bit. So Greg Whitmore has made the next transition.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing? What's your approach at that point to justify to yourself you made the right decision? What are you doing?
Yeah, well, you know, one of my issues, and it's just the career that I've chosen and everything else, it just demands almost, seems like 16-hour days, 7 days a week, just don't ever get away from the job. So I'm not so flush with money that I can just pull the plug on a job and sacrifice salary. I'll have to keep working, but I have to have one that is more like I'm done at 5 o'clock in the evening, and I can commit to having dinner with Karen, and we can commit to going camping or backpacking on the weekends or whatever we may want to do, and I'm not hosting a volleyball tournament, or I'm not having a coach's meeting on Sunday night to plan for the next week or planning that teaching. So that's the direction I have to move. And then certainly, hopefully there's that point when every day is a weekend.
And
can do whatever I want to do. I'm certainly have lots I want to do in retirement.
Yeah, then you can make the decision on this trip. Do I want to do an overnighter or a two-weeker?
Yeah. Yeah. Now we know we can only fit in an overnighter, and that's a challenge, but I want to have the flexibility to stay out here 4 or 5 nights and pick days when it's not snowing like right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, I appreciate you sharing your perspective, because I do think it's a pretty common one. I'll admit, even as a relatively young person, COVID, the COVID pandemic has, I think, made a lot of people feel this way.
Yeah.
And I know last year, luckily I was able, you know, I just reassured myself that it was due more to the circumstances than me actually feeling that way. But mm-hmm. there were times last year with how busy things were, and like, you know, some of the things we were asking the kids to do, and it wasn't overly enjoyable at times. And it kind of causes you to think like, do I really want to do this? Is this what I want to be spending my time on? And, you know, like I said, fortunately, I think it was just more circumstantial than anything. But even as a young person, I'm having those thoughts.
Yeah, and like I say, we're in different points in our career. And, of course, besides the Learning to Succeed podcast that I listen to religiously, because your choice of guests are
maybe just, not in the last 6 months.
Well,
but
maybe not in the last 6 months, but your choice of guests are just unbelievable. But anyway,
especially 1/5 of them.
Yeah, 1/5 of them, and your first, and all that. But I listen to some other podcasts, and they tend to be on retirement. And one thing they talk about is if you're thinking about early retirement or retiring, maybe try to do a test run. And it's not always easy, but try to pretend like you're retired either during the summer or if you can take a sabbatical or whatever. Well, guess what? A year ago this time, we were not in school. We were shut down, and it was almost like a sabbatical. It was almost like we were retired. We had to put some virtual lessons together, and that had its challenges. But guess what? I wasn't coaching football. We had no sports. I was not trying to put lesson plans together for the most part. I was not hosting volleyball tournaments. I was not doing any athletic director
jobs. And I was over here, and I was out in the hills. I was mountain biking. We were hiking. I was going up on top of the hills where I could get cell service and putting virtual weight training classes together. I came over to the Antioch football field and did some of that. We did some of that. And so I actually got that test of retirement. And one thing I found out is I didn't miss football. I didn't miss teaching. And I was happy, and Karen and I were happy. And so that was the biggest indicator to me that, you know what, it's time. It is really time. I got that chance and that look into that and really the feel of it, and it felt good. And so that's why I really know it's time, and it's just trying to get everything in order, from financial things that always has to get in order before you retire, and things with your career, and maybe things you want to finish off, and even things like getting your house ready to sell, and where you're going to live, you know, the house upriver that we're going to take over, we're going to build, all that stuff. So it can't happen overnight, but I certainly know that it's time.
Yeah. Well, that should be celebrated, right?
Yeah. I mean. Yeah, there's going to be, you know, when you walk away from a 30-year career, and when you finally do tell the people that depend on you every day that you're not going to be their coach anymore, you're not going to be athletic director, there's going to be some of them probably happy as hell. But and there's going to be some that may be disappointed, and there's going to be tears. Because to walk away from that it's tough, because there's absolutely tons of stuff I'm going to miss. And it always comes down to the people and the kids and all that. But it's time for the next chapter, and I can't put it off very much longer.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. Well-being, health, collective health, that's what you got to do. You got to start making decisions that are going to benefit you.
Yeah, and you know, the last video I put together was just a few, couple months ago. Dear friend of mine, Dwight Pflugrath, who I was an assistant basketball coach for, and dear friend, he and his wife were great friends of ours. He passed away suddenly, and so I put together a quick YouTube video right down here on Tai Mountain, down here on the road, and just said, you know what, tomorrow's not promised us, so we know our time is finite on this earth, and maybe tomorrow, maybe 30 years from now for me, but it's time to go to that next chapter and hope that I have a lot of years left, and just making the most of those, and again, trying to really work towards being that husband of the year and having balance and being happy and just leading a stress-free life, and still, you know, I'll still volunteer and try to help others. I always want to help others, but got to be a little more selfish, looking out for me than maybe I have in the past.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good place to call it. And I'll just kind of end with this. You know, if you've been a listener of the podcast, you know, we haven't had a new episode in close to almost exactly 6 months. It might be exactly. And I think it's just fitting that, you know, I guess to give an explanation why, you know, one of it falls on me. You know, just not making the time and maybe finding some excuses to not get an episode out. But the other is just things happen and time gets consumed, and then you have to make decisions with the time you have, and chose to make some other decisions. But I think it's fitting that we're having this talk about finding your passions and creating this balance. And the first episode in 6 months comes out on a trip that's the epitome of that.
And we've rambled on. You may have to break this into two, I don't know, but you know, over the last few months, there's been a lot of times I've had a hard time sleeping, and you can get on YouTube, as a lot of people know, and you can have the rain falling on it, and kind of that white noise puts you to sleep. Well, maybe this will be one of those that people want to, maybe this will put them to sleep. Some of them, maybe some people will say, recognize, yeah, that's me. But either way, it's just a special time being out here with you and being around this fire, and it wouldn't be a lot of people's special time, but it's something that I want to keep doing as long as I can keep getting out here with you.
Yeah. And with that, thanks for listening. Go out, find your passion, but keep your balance. Talk to you later.
Thanks for listening to the Learning to Succeed podcast. Please subscribe, rate, and write a review. Also, please support our guests and give them a follow on social media.